Who in here has heard of Murphy's Law? Pretty much everybody, yeah. Murphy's Law has the connotation that if anything can go wrong in life, it will. And you know, that's pretty much the way it is, isn't it? Because we have all been attacked by Murphy's Law in one way or the other. You know, I've got several examples here for things that can go wrong according to Murphy's Law. For example, the other line at Walmart is always shorter than the line that you are in. Yeah. If you're making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and you drop the bread on the floor, it always hits with the peanut butter side down. Yeah. No matter how long you and how hard you shop for something in a store, after you've bought it, you find it somewhere else cheaper. Yeah. If you're working on your car and you drop the tool that you're using to work on your car, it will roll to the middle of the car where you can't reach it. If your TV or appliances are giving you problems and you call the repairman, when he gets there, it will work perfectly. Yeah. According to Murphy's Law, you always remember that you forgot to take out the trash on time. Now, you know, that used to not be a big problem with me because we used to have the big dumpster sitting out here. But now we don't have that anymore, so I can't forget to take my garbage to the road. I've always got to get it there. According to Murphy, when you think about his thinking, the world is a discouraging place, isn't it? When you have that frame of mind, if something can go wrong, it will go wrong. There's a good possibility that you're going to have a lot of Murphy in your life. You know, we divide ourselves into two groups, the optimistic and the pessimistic in life, don't we? Now, I'm not going to ask you which one you are, but think of this. You're holding in your hand a glass of water. Is it half full? Or is it half empty? You think it's half full? Okay. Well, that's great. Then we're all optimistic now, aren't we? I don't know if I've told you this story or not, but I had my mother's mother, my grandmother, lived next door to us in a mobile home after her husband died. And she was terrified to live in that mobile home. She was scared of the weather. And it didn't matter what the day was like. There was always something wrong with the weather. If there was a cloud in the sky, it probably had a tornado in it. I mean, she had that thinking. And every time you would say something to her, she would always be negative and always be pessimistic. Something is always wrong, particularly with the weather. So one day I went out there, and it was a gorgeous spring day. They just don't come any better. And I said, "Mama, isn't it a beautiful, beautiful day outside today?" And she said, "Oh, yeah, but think of what it's going to do tomorrow." She couldn't help herself. She would have seen a half an empty glass of water. She was a pessimist. She lived for Murphy, I put it that way. Murphy's Law will cause you to feel discouraged. Have you ever felt discouraged at times and you really don't know why? I guess we've all been there as well. How many times do you feel discouraged in your life? Well, some of you may be thinking, well, how many times a day do I feel discouraged in my life? We all face discouragement. And, you know, sometimes we're our own worst enemy. We bring it upon ourselves, this discouragement that we have. You know, there are a lot of things that happen in life that can make us feel discouraged. But you know, we as Christians, we have an opportunity to be right the opposite of that. Because when it comes right down to it, it really doesn't matter what happens to us in this life. Because look what we have waiting for us in the next one. So, as Christians, we need to be right the opposite of Murphy's Law. Right the opposite of being a pessimist. Well, how do you do that? I mean, how can you put all of these negative things that happen in our lives, set them aside, and try to be positive in life? Well, we have examples in scriptures that actually tell us how to do that. And I'm going to share some of that with you this evening. And I'm going to do so by introducing to you a character that we find introduced to us in Acts chapter 4 and verse 36. His name is Barnabas. Now, Barnabas was a Levite. He was from the country of Cyprus. And if you go to the dictionary and you look up the word Barnabas, it means son of encouragement. In other words, Barnabas was not a pessimist. Barnabas never saw a half-empty glass of water. He was always optimistic. In Acts chapter 9, let's read together beginning in verse 26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and how he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. Now I'm going to have more to say about this story in just a moment. But when you look at what Barnabas did here, he did something positive in a very negative situation. And we need to strive to be more like Barnabas in our lives. We should strive to encourage one another instead of trying to bring one another down. You know, I don't have a lot of patience with pessimistic people. I don't know if you figured that out about me or not. But when someone comes to me grumbling and complaining, and they do it all the time because that's really all they know how to do, I treat it like water on a duck's back. I shake it off and move on. Because I don't have time for that. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to live my life like that. Some people thrive on being negative. I don't. I don't want any part of it. We need to be optimistic. We need to be encouraging. This thing that Barnabas did here for the Apostle Paul was a very encouraging thing. And we need to put that type of life into ourselves. So tonight, I want to look at some of the characteristics of this man. What made him be the way he was? What made him stand out among a group of people as someone who you really would like to listen to because, hey, he's interesting, he's positive, he wants to move forward, he wants things to be better in life? That's how Barnabas was. And that's how we need to be. In Acts chapter 4, Barnabas, first of all, was singled out for having a giving heart. Now, we find this coming through a contribution that he made to the church at Jerusalem. Verse 32 tells us that the congregation of the early church was of one heart and one soul. Now, he provided for those who were in need by selling land that he had, that he knew the money could be used to benefit someone else. Why did he do that? Well, if we read in the book of Acts, we're going to find that there were a lot of Christians who had this manner of life and with their Christianity. Acts 4, verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Now what this is telling me is that these people had developed a goal that everybody be content, that everybody be happy, that everybody be satisfied, and that everybody are taken care of. This was definitely Barnabas' thinking. They had a true unity. They were together in heart and in soul. They were together emotionally. They were together spiritually. They knew what it was like to have a unity. And Acts gives us this picture of the New Testament church. And Barnabas was a part of that. He was a part of that oneness. He was a part of that group that wanted to see everybody do well and everybody be positive and everybody be happy. The Christians here did not claim anything as their own. Now, do we live in a society like that today? We can go back to our childhood. Now, I didn't do this a lot because I was an only child. But if you had more than one child in your home, you heard this a lot.
Mine, mine, mine. You can't have it. Give it back.
You remember that? If you have more than one child in your home, you got it all the time. I know that now because I had two children. And they're both sitting here and they know they acted that way. We had developed within ourselves an element of greed. An element of, I want this, you can't have this, give it back. This was not the attitude of the early church. I will help you with your needs. I will help give you the things that you are in need of. Barnabas did not claim the land was his own. Now, it was his own. He had purchased that land. It was a part of what he had. And he freely gave it, or gave the proceeds of it, to the church to help the needy. He did not have that "it's mine and you can't have it" attitude, as so many people have today. Barnabas had a giving heart. Another thing, and this goes back to Acts chapter 9 again, Barnabas had a positive affirmation about people. In other words, he didn't look for something that was bad. He always looked for something that was good. And this was definitely the case with the Apostle Paul. He had seen what Paul had done in preaching in a mighty way the Word of God. He knew that Paul had been truly converted. He knew that Paul was a Christian. He had seen something that the other disciples had not seen. He realized something about Paul that the other disciples had not. And Barnabas took hold of Paul and brought him to the apostles and say, look, this man has changed. This man is different. Barnabas affirmed Saul's conversion and his new faith in Jesus Christ. Now, it don't always work out that way, does it? Sometimes we have reason to doubt someone's change, don't we? Because they show no indication of a change in life. Paul had shown indication of change within him. Barnabas saw that. And he wanted other people to see that. Yeah, this could have been a trick. Has anybody in here ever been tricked before? Maybe in business, or maybe in a personal relationship, or in... So we've all experienced that, haven't we? And it kind of makes us wonder sometimes, can we put faith in people? Owen's raising his hand over here, y'all. He knows it. You know it, buddy. You're right. We have trouble putting our faith in people, don't we, sometimes? Barnabas obviously did not. Barnabas was an encourager. He was not a doubter. And he brought Paul and the church together. Isn't that a wonderful thought? And just imagine if Barnabas had not taken Paul by the hand and brought him to the apostles and said, look, look at what he has done. Look at what he is capable of. The Apostle Paul may not have been the great apostle that he turned out to be. It took someone to have faith and belief in him. And I'm going to go farther than that. We're all sitting here tonight. We all have an ability. We all have purpose. And we all have goals in life. And if you have achieved your goal, there is someone who stood behind you. There is someone who believed in you. There is someone who encouraged you. We need to be encouragers in life. Barnabas was willing to think the best and not the worst. Barnabas was filled with love. Love is affirming. Love is positive. You know, Paul's letters to Corinth, even to Corinth, the problems that they were having, began with an affirmation, began with an attitude of love. And we can learn from this. And we can develop a positive thinking from Barnabas. And then number three, Barnabas gave motivation. Have you ever motivated anybody to try to get them to do better? To try to get them to achieve? To try to get them to accomplish? Have you ever done that for someone? Okay, let me ask you this. Has anyone ever done this for you? Has anyone ever come up to you and say, oh man, I know you can do this. I know you've got it within you. I know that you can move forward. I know that you can pull this off. They're encouraging you not to stop, not to turn around and run away, but to accomplish that which you want in life. The Jerusalem church hears about Paul, or they hear about the Gentiles that are being converted, particularly in Antioch. And what do? They send an encourager to them. Who was it? It was Barnabas. Acts chapter 11, verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue in the Lord. In other words, he gave them that little shove that they must have needed to keep moving on as a Christian. And we need to understand now, we're dealing with Gentiles here. They were totally different than the Jews. They had no knowledge. They had no understanding. They had no appreciation for God as the Jews did. And he walked into that environment and he pushed those people toward God. They needed a lot of encouragement. And Barnabas was the man for the job. And then when he got there, he rejoiced. The Jews rejoiced. Not many Jews were rejoicing because the Gentiles were welcome to be a part of Christianity. But it says here that they rejoiced. Barnabas rejoiced. Barnabas was very happy because people were turning to the Lord. You know, sometimes we can't accomplish very much for God because we're too busy kicking and yelling. And we're too busy complaining. And I got to tell you, that rarely moves anyone forward. It rarely causes someone to do the right thing. We need to be positive. We need to be able to motivate others. Barnabas was not a depressed person, was he? He was always wanting to do the right thing. He was always wanting to help other people do the right thing. He had a giving heart because he had a joyful heart. And when you look at Barnabas, you see Murphy's Law being broken time and time again. Of course, there was no Murphy's Law in the days of Barnabas. But I honestly believe that he would have laughed at Murphy's Law. We can't let something like this control us. And how many of us have allowed Murphy's Law to control us, to give us discouragement, to tell us we can't do something because something has gone wrong? We just give it up, we throw in the towel, and we quit. That's what Murphy tells you. Barnabas would never have given in to Murphy's Law. We need to have a giving heart. We need to be positive. We need to motivate others. And if you will do this, you will be absolutely amazed at what life will do for you. So let's make a commitment at this church to put the Barnabas effect in our lives. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, your life could not be possible because you're lost. You're marred down in sin, and you need to be freed from that sin. Jesus Christ can do that for you. And we need to motivate those who are outside of Christ to give their life to Christ. Let Jesus do what he can do. The positivity of salvation is knocking at your door, and it is yours if you will only take it. And let's encourage those to do so. And tonight, if you are a Christian and your life is not what it needs to be, it cannot be positive because, again, you're marred down in sin again in your life. But you can change by coming back to the Lord. That's a positive thing. Come back to the Lord in a positive way. Repent of your sins. I want to move forward. I want to do what's right. I want to be motivating. I want to be positive in my Christianity. Giving, affirming, motivating. It was all a part of this wonderful man called Barnabas. We need to make sure that it is a part of us. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.